Today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Kuf Chof Beis, and we're starting on the bottom of daf Kuf Chof Alpha and Beis. Two lines from the bottom by Iboilu. Iboilu, the Gemara has a shayla. Eretz Yisrael Shvatim Iflig, Vidilma Lekarkaf Gavre Iflig. When Eretz Yisrael was split by the original Chalukah, how was it split? It was a split based on the Shvatim into 12 parts, equal parts. And then each Shevet had to figure out on their own how they were going to go and split it amongst the Shevet. Or did they start counting the bodies and each person got his own chelik? And if the Shevet had more people in it, that Shevet received obviously a bigger chelik because it worked per person. And if the Shevet that had small people received less because they had less people. And it would come out the polar opposite of what happened when the split occurred. Meaning if it was 12 equal splits, then a Shevet that had more people in it, they got the raw end of the deal because each person got a lesser chelik. And if it worked out per person, the Shevet that had more people in it got the better end of the deal. Toshma bein rav lemat. So the Pasuk says, when it's talking about the chelik ha'aretz, the Chalukah, it says, Al pi agoril techolik and achlosei bin rav lamat. That you split the land, whether a lot or small. So we see from there that whether the Shevet was big or whether it was small, you split the land. In other words, it sounds like pretty clearly that the Chalukah worked per Shevet, not per person. Eretz Yisrael is going to be split, and we're going to expound on this later on in the Gemara, to 13 Shvatim. Shabbatchila, in the beginning, Lenitzchak el Lashnayim as Shvatim. In the beginning, it was only to 12 Shvatim. Lenitzchak el Bekesef. And it was split on a monetary cheshbin, with money. Shnemar bein Rav Lamat. What does that mean? That it was split with money. That in the chelik of Eretz Yisrael that was Yehuda, one saw of land over there was worth, five saw worth in Gaul in the northern parts. So therefore, it seems like from the Havmina of the Gemara that you'll see later on, that when a person who landed the chelik of Yehuda, he landed the better part of Eretz Yisrael, he had to compensate the individual who got the lesser part of Eretz Yisrael, the lesser good part of Eretz Yisrael at least, and compensate him with money. And it was split only with a girl with a lottery. Ach and it was only split with the Urim V'tum, which is obviously an astira that we just said it was split with a lottery, and then it says it was split with the Urim V'tum. Shnemar al pi girl. Okay, so what exactly went on? Elazar used to wear the Urim V'tum. Yeshua v'chol Yisrael imim b'lfanav. And Yeshua and all of Klal Yisrael would stand in front of him. V'klapei shel shvatim v'kalfei shel tchumim munachim b'fanav. And there were two boxes in front of him. One box was filled with all the names of the shvatim. Another box was filled with all the areas of Eretz Yisrael split up already. V'hoya mechavim b'ruach ha-kodesh. And he would be mechavim in ruach ha-kodesh. V'amar zvulun oyla. I'm going to stick my hand to this box with the Shvatim, and he would predict the future, and he would say that Zvulun is the thing that I'm going to pick out, that's the card that I'm going to pick out. Tchum Aka Oil Imoy. And when I stick my hand into the box filled with the Tchumim of Eretz Yisrael, the Tchum of Aku would be Oila in my hand, and that would be going to Zvulun. Torf Bekalfe Shvatim. He would go and stick his hand into the box of the Shvatim, and the word Torf, the Rashbam says, means he mixed it around. Ach Torf Torf. That like by, he quotes the Gemara, the Mishnah Idias, Beitzim Trufais Bika'ara, eggs getting mixed around in a pot, that he wanted to make sure no one thought he was cheating or it was rigged. So he would mix it around, pick it out, and what would happen? Lo and behold, Va'al B'yadei Zvulun. Zvulun would pop up. Torf B'kalfe Shel Tchumim, Va'al B'yadei Tchumaku. Lo and behold, he was right about the Tchum as well. V'choizim Chavim Ruach HaKadosh, and then he would say again, Ruach HaKadosh, V'ayim Naftali Eilu. Naftali is the one that's going to come up. And the tchum of Gnoisar would come up with him. Taraf Bakalfa. Shashwatam al biyad Naftali. And he would stick his hand in and mix it around in the box, and Naftali would pop up. Taraf Bakalfa. Tchum ba'al biyad tchum Gnoisar. And he would stick his hand in the box of the Tchumim, and Ginoisa will come up. And that's how it worked out. Yeshevet. In other words, when the Mishnah, when the Brisa said that we split Eretz Yisrael with a Goyel, with a lottery, and we split it with the Urim and Tumim, it didn't mean either or, it meant with both. That he would go and Elazar would say what would happen. He would say Beruach HaKodesh, and what would happen was he would then pick out the lottery, which would go and confirm what he just previously said, and it would seem like, again, that there was no pickbook or no question as to what was the Ratzon Hashem, what was the Gvar Hashem. It's just interesting that the word Lefanov, Chol Yisrael Oinu Lefanov, I saw this morning that it says the Gemara in Yuma says, Tanur Rabbanon, Ketzad Shoyalim, how did people ask from the Urim V'Tumim? Hashoyal, the person who was asking the question, Melech or Yav Bezdin, Ponov, Klapei Anishol. He would stand in front of the Nishol, meaning he would face the Nishol. V'Anishol, Ponov, Klapei Shechina. But the person who was getting asked, which in this case would have been Elazar, he would stand facing the Shechina, meaning Klapei the Urim V'Tumim. And the Shoyal would say, should I pursue this person or this place? V'Anishol, and the answer would say, Alei V'Atzach, go up and you'll be Matzliach. And that's mamash like our Gemara, but it says, "V'chol Yisrael oimdim lefanov," meaning Elazar would stand facing the Urim V'Tumim, Klal Yisrael would stand facing Elazar, and that's how it would work. But I'll call upon him. The first obvious question on the Gemara's Iboiluhu, or the first raya to one of the sodom of how was Eretz Yisrael split, was in the beginning of this brayso. It says, "Bein Rav Lamaat and Asidim Eretz Yisrael Shetcholik L'Shloisha Aser Shvatim or L'Shneim Aser Shvatim." That was all going and pointing to the direction that it was split by Shvatim, not by person. And the chalukah, the split that happened when Yeshua ben Nun split the Eretz Yisrael, was not like the chalukah that's going to be La'asad Lovin. A person who has a field that produces grain, he doesn't have a field that's an orchid. If he has a field of trees, he doesn't have a field with grains. But in the future, everyone is going to have equal shenemar, like it says in the pasuk in Yecheskel, and the pasuk quotes: "V'shar ha'ir al shmeis shifte Yisrael, sha'orim shloisha tzvoyna, sha'aruven echod, sha'yehuda echod, sha'levi echod." And it goes through all the dgalim, and it says also over there, by the way, sha'ar Yosef echod, that it wouldn't be split. In the beginning of the Gemara was going that it would be split into 12 Shvatim because Levi wasn't getting a part in Eretz Yisrael, and Ephraim and Manasseh were getting each one part as one Shevet. But like we've seen in the Pasuk in Yecheskel, that Yosef eventually was considered one Shevet and they lost that status, which is why the Meshech Chachma points out, Va'ato, when Yaakov Avin was talking to Yosef, he's saying, and now Ephraim and Manasseh Kerubim Meshimu Yuli. What does the Pasuk say? Now? So the Meshech Chachma says, Mamash from this Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Chav Bezim at Aleph, and he quotes the Pasuk in Yecheskel, that now, when Yeshua is splitting the land, Ephraim and Manasseh are two separate entities, and they're considered two Shvatim. But, La'asad Lava, Lo'ilam Abba, then Ephraim and Manasseh will be like one Shevet again, because Yosef, Shar Yosef, Echad from this Pasuk in Yecheskel. Not only that, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mechalik Ma'atzma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu splits himself, Eila Shenemer, like it says in the Pasuk, again in Yecheskel later on, right before that Pasuk, Ve'eila Machluf Kuzam No Mashem, it says No Mashem, Katonim, yes. But after this whole Arichos, we see from that Braisa, She'betchilu Lo'in Eschalka L'Shnei Masar Shvatim, Shma Mino L'Shvatim Ifloig Shma Mino. So you see from here that the splitting of the land happened based on a calculation of Shvatim, not based on the calculation per person. The Mela, every Shevet got an equal amount. If the Shevet had a lot of people, each person in that Shevet got a little amount because they had to split amongst a lot of people. And if the Shevet had a lot of people, a little people, then each person would receive a big amount of land. Omar Mar, I see the Eretz Yisrael Shetcholik L'Shleisha Asher Shvatim. Eretz Yisrael is destined to be split amongst 13 Shvatim. Idach Laman, who is number 13? We can all count. Omar of Chizdal Limnasi to Lenasi, to the Melech HaMashiach. The Chsiv, like it says in the Pasuk in Yecheskel, again, before the previous book, spoken about, Oiver O'ir, Ya'avduhu Mikol Shifte Yisrael. The person who is the Oiver O'ir, Ya'avdu, everyone will serve him. And we're Amalir, Papa Abaya, who said that we're translating this Pasuk that Ya'avdu means that they're going to serve him and give him land? Ema Roingar Be'alma. Maybe it just means that they're going to go and actually serve him. Why does it have to be that they're going to go and give him land? So Abaye says, Lo yisal kedai t'chseva anoysir l'nosi mizeh u'mizeh. From this side and that side, the Trumas HaKodesh l'achuz ha'seir, that the Nasi takes the Trumas HaKodesh and Achuz HaSeir. If you look in the Rashbam brings down the end of the Pasuk. At the end of the Pasuk says, Uchsiv b'sefer dekra, the Rashbam, the Ramaskul Achuz HaSeir, says in the end of the Pasuk, Be'echor HaChalokim. That the Pasuk ended off over there, or later on, in one of the Chalokim, and that's how you know from. V'l'nitzchak el l'ksofim. And when we said previously that it was split only monetarily, what does it mean monetarily? That one had to compensate for the other. If one shevet got nicer land, he would give the other one to compensate for his loss, money. Shneimer bein rav lamat lemai. What's it going on over here? Ilei milushufer v'sanya. If it's going to talk about good, pretty land, v'sanya, not such good land, qualitatively, otu b'shuftani askinan. Are we dealing with fools that are going to go and give up la'asad lavay for eternity? Their chalik in a good land for a couple of bucks. Ella lekroiva v'rechoika. But Masvi is talking about the closeness and the proximity towards Yerushalayim. And the Rashbam brings down two pshatim, either because it's just good to be close to Yerushalayim, and obviously you can't be oil regular or not, or because if you're further away from Yerushalayim, that means back of the envelope arithmetic, you're closer to the other nations. If you're close to the other nations, you live your life in a constant fear, like we see Taka today, that the northern cities are more fearful than the cities in the closer cities to Yerushalayim. Kitanoi, like there's a machlok tanoim, Rabbi Yezer and Bksofim Halu, Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Karka Halu. There was a machlok between Rabbi Yezer and Rabbi Shua how they compensated for their lack of closeness to Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yezer says that they gave them money to the other side. Rabbi Shua says that no, they got more karka if they were further away to compensate for that difference. The Brisa continued with Chalka Ela B'Girl. They split it with a lottery. Shnemar Ach B'Girl. Ach B'Girl. Tana Ach B'Girl. Yotzi Yeshua V'Kolov. Ach is always a miyot. Yeshua V'Kolov did not get it with a girl. Lamai, what's it going on that they didn't get it with a girl? Ilay Medulay Shakul Klal. If you're going to say that they didn't receive at all any land, Hashtag Lav Dutu Shakul Dutu M'Boyleh. We said before on Kuf Yechasim Beis that they got the chelik of the miraglim. So you're going to say that Yeshua V'Kolev got the chelik of miraglim, but they themselves didn't get a portion of Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't make sense. So Gemara says, obviously, it doesn't mean that they didn't get it all, but rather it means Ela al pi Hashem. It must mean that they didn't get it through a lottery, rather they got it directly from Hashem. Yeshua d'chsev, Yeshua says in the Pasuk, and Yeshua, al pi Hashem nothnu leizayir asher sho'ol es timnas serach. That the Yeshua, al pi Hashem, gave him the land that was al timnas serach by Har Ephraim. Ksiv serach, uksiv, and it says in a different pasuk, shoyftim v'yikbu roisei b'gvul nachlosei b'timnas cheres, not serach, which is the same letters, but a different positioning of the letters. So it says cheres. Why does it say serach? Why does it say cheres? Amar avlozah b'tchilo peyrusek cheres. In the beginning, the peyrus were like cheres, meaning they were tough like rocks. They were dried out and bad, says the Rashbam. Ulu b'soy peyrusek masrichim. And in the end, they stunk. Well, stinking, it sounds like they were also bad. So the Rashbam explains, masrichim means they stunk because they were so juicy that because they were left out, eventually they were masriach, they weren't tough. Not like we know, like a dried out estragon muscle becomes hardened thing. It does not masriach. So a fruit, I don't know how that talks to the miles of the Esrik. Esrik is Baruma miles, but the point is, of the Rashbam, is that if a peri is masriach, it stinks and it gets all disgusting, then you know that it was good and it was juicy. So in the beginning it was kecheres and it wasn't masriach, it didn't have that capability to go and become moist and bad. Lubasoy perisera masrichim, it did. And that was a change of lushainus in the psukim. Kecheres. The others say, Fakarat, in the beginning it was masriach, that they were always good fruit. In the beginning it was so juicy that it went and became bad right away. In the end it was the perfect level that it wouldn't go bad, but it was juicy and enjoyable while it was around. That's how you know that Yeshua received his land from Hashem. Kol d'chsev, v'hitnu l'kol v'tzchevron kash dibur Moshe. That Kolev got Chevron, like Moshe said, but Yorish Meshamet Shloisha B'nei Anak, Chevron Yer Miklot, Havoy, I Chevron was the Yer Miklot, Amar Baya Parvo, the outskirts, Tchsiv Es Dei Irves Chatzera, Nosan L'Kol B'Yifun B'Achuz Asai. So you see from that pasuk as well, that Kolev got the land directly from Hashem and not through the lottery. Zok the Hilge Mishnah. Echad ben v'echad bas menachla. So we're going back to the Perek's theme of Yesh Noichlim, of who gets Yerusha. Again, a pretty straightforward Mishnah. Sai a son and Sai a daughter, whether a son or a daughter, benachla, they're both Yarshin. Elosh ha-ben noitl pishnayim benichse ha'av. The son takes double the, if he's the Bechor obviously, the amount from the nechasim, the property of the father, but he does not receive double from the mother. And another difference between a son and a daughter after the death of a parent is that the daughters do not get fed. They do not get fed from the nechasim, from the property of the mother, but rather they only get fed from the property of the father. And obviously, what would follow, that's talking about the Rashbam speaks out, and we know this halacha from the previous Masechtos, that a son, if the nechasim are a lot, then the son gets his Yerusha, and a little bit is left over, and the children have to support the daughters, to obviously give them the daily food. But if there's only a little bit in the whole Yerusha, then it goes all to the daughters to continue their eating, and the sons, because of Busha, have to go around and ask for food or figure it out on their own, because the sons obviously are more apropos to do such a thing. My echad ben v'echad bas, but the Mishnah started off, says the Gemara, with cryptic words. Echad ben v'echad bas benachla. What does that mean? Elim the yarsi ke adadi. If you're going to say that when it says echad ben v'echad bas benachla, that they both yarshin equally. Ha'amar ha'tanan. We learned in the Mishnah. Everyone knows it's ben koydim l'bas kol yoytzi reichsha ben koydim l'bas. That a son comes before the daughter, and not only that, kol yoytzi reichsha ben, all the offsprings of this son, if this son is not around, come before their aunt or great aunt. They both take b'roi kibim mochzik. So we said, what's roi and mochzik? We came across it a couple of times already. But Ibn Slavchad, notoriously, that if the father, if we're working, let's say, with Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Reuven, or in the Rashbam's example, Yaakov, Reuven, and Reuven's child, and Reuven is not around, and now Yaakov passes away. So Yaakov yarshins to Reuven's children, even though Reuven didn't really get his Yerusha ever. He was only Roi to Yarshin, his father. Afal Pekin, the children Yarshin b'Roi kibemuchzik. It's as if Reuven was actually a muchzik on Yaakov's nechasim, even though he really never did Yarshin, he was only Roi to Yarshin nechasim. Memela, he gets it. Frank Gemara, the question that obviously follows, Hanami Tanina, we learned that already in the Mishnah, blame stuff for not l'shosh chalakim. The children of Tzlofka, the daughters, took three chalakim benachla. Chelak avim shayim yetzim tzayim chelkim achim benachse chayfer. You see that since Benoit Tzlofka took Tzlofka's chelak in what he would have yarshins from chayfer, and Tzlofka wasn't necessarily alive when chayfer was nifter, the Mela, you see that the daughters are taking b'ra'i kibemuchse.
V'oid, and not... Tzrol didn't come to later, but maybe...
We're talking about not the what they're yarshining now. We're talking about the chayfer never yarshined.
Chayfer didn't yarshin wasn't there yet, but could be he died. Could be when his father was alive when chayfer died.
Oh, it could be. It was like meaning and just the item that they were yarshining was different. Here, it seems like the Rashbam names are not like that, but here he says over.
It's also there. Also be kibbeh mochzik because why would they?
Right, so the Rashbam says it that it's mashma, and that I hear your akimta, but the Rashbam says it's mashma over there that whether or not Tzlofchad would have died with his chayav, the Mishnah didn't differentiate in what belonged to Benoit Tzlofchad today. So because it didn't differentiate, so mail it has to be on both akimtas. It was a good kasha. Or a shayla. Va'oid, my Ella, there's no continuance. Meaning, one thing we're talking about Yerusha, and then all of a sudden you go to the mother and the father's Nechasim. We're talking about first the Koyach that starts off Echad Ben Echad Bas Benachla. First, we're talking about the son and daughter when it comes to Hilchas Yerusha, and then all of a sudden it jumps to the father and mother's chalokim. He gets two in the chalok of the father, he doesn't get two in the chalok of the mother. So what's the jump? What's the ella? It's not a continuance, it's a new halacha. You get two in the father, not in the mother. You yarish with your daughter differently, but roi kibam muchzik. Two unrelated halachas. Ella or a papa says, no, you don't learn the first sentence of the Mishnah that way, you learn it differently. They both take the chalik that the father would have taken if he was a Bechor, had he been Yarshim. Hanamatanina, you learned the same thing from Tzlafchad. Shahayu Bechor Noit L'Shnei Chalakim, that they're taking the chalik of Tzlafchad that he was a Bechor and he would have taken to Chalakim. V'oid, and another question, the same exact question, my Ella. There's no continuation. First, we're talking about the schusim of the son and daughter to Yarshim and the chalik of Bechor. And next, we jump to how we Yarshim, a mother and a father. No continuity. Elam Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi says a different pshat in how you learn the first sentence. Hachkamar echad bein habonim veechad echad ben bein habonim veechad bas bein habonis. Let's say there were only sons, or there were only daughters, so the daughters are bas yirushas. Im Amar, and the father's on his deathbed, and he's saying, I don't know if he's a shchemer. Yirush kol nichsei dvarv kayamim, and he says, Ruvain, my middle son, or Levi, my middle son, you yarshin all the nechasim and forget about all the other boys. Dvarv kayamim, the words of this nifter are going to be mekuyim, and that son is going to be the only yerush, and no one else is going to be yerushim. Come on, who is that going like? Rabbi Yechon Rebbeika, it's going like Rabbi Yechon Rebbeika. Oktani, like, come on, we already learned in the mission later on, Rabbi Yechon Rebbeika, Omer, Omar, Misha, Roy, Liyorshoi, Dvarv kayamim. If he says that the person should yerushim him, and he should be the only yerush, and that person was taka roy to yerushim him, then it works. Almi she'ain royal yarshim, but if you said it on someone that's not royal to yarshim, ain't dwarf kayam. B'chi teiman, if you're going to say k'sasim like Rabbi Yechon Rebbeika that we're just coming to say a stam mishnah like that halacha Rabbi Yechon Rebbeika, stam ba'akach machloikasi, stam ba'akach machloikas in halach k'stam. That wouldn't help you over here because over here is a stam mishnah. You're saying it's coming to tell you the halacha that a father can choose one of his children to yarshim over the rest if that's a ben yerusha, and that would work. That wouldn't prove that halacha because the general rule of thumb is that if there's a mishnah that says a halacha without any machlokes in it, and then there's a machlokes following that mishnah with that exact halacha, then the halacha is not like the machlokes. Vo'ayid my Ella, again, there's no continuity, there's no continuation between the halachas. One is talking about whether or not the father can choose one child over the other children, and then it goes to talk about how you split the nechosim of the father and the mother. And the differences. And this is what we stick with. They're both equal in the nichsei ha'em u'benichsei ha'av, meaning if they're the only people around, they yarshin them equally. There's no din b'chayra b'nichsei ha'em. And obviously, there's no din b'chayra to a daughter by the child yarshining. So we said on the previous Gemara, and that ends the Gemara really, and goes on to the new chapter of Lost Pinchayim. The Gemara said in Amud Aleph that Elazar Melubish Burim Betumim the Yeshua v'Chol Yisrael Oimdim Lefanav v'Kalfei Shalshadim Kavash Tchumim Nachem Lefanav. So what happened was Elazar was standing over here, Yeshua was standing in front of him. They were asking him who gets what land. He did this whole Ruach HaKodesh. He predicted what was going to come out in the lottery, and all of a sudden, to everyone's amazement, the lottery picked out exactly what he said. The Ruach HaKodesh was prevalent, and it was clear to all that it was the Dvar Hashem. I saw a psikta in a sefri in the Tzavim, and it says an amazing thing that we learn from this process that occurred in Parshas Pinchas. Right, it's based on a pasuk in Pinchas that says, "Ulfnei Elazar akoyin ya'amoid v'sho'al loy b'mishpat urim, ulfnei Hashem al pi yetsu v'al piv yavoyu, hu v'chol b'nei Yisrael it v'chol eida." So Zok the Sefri in the Tzavim says, "Ulfnei Elazar akoyin ma amar loy hakadosh baruch hu kan." What's going on over here? Reb Nosson says, "Moshe hoyim misatev b'libo yishloy amar echem b'banav l'shamish achrav." Moshe was depressed in his heart that one of his children wasn't taking his place. Like we heard over in Shir from Srili many months ago about the Nis'ave Moshe, Misa's Yeshua, that Moshe wanted had a taiva to have the Misa of Yeshua. What was the Misa of Yeshua exactly? You think Moshe didn't have Misa in the Shika? But rather that Yeshua went and he took off his clothing and he handed them to his son, Elazar. And he passed on the baton right away, and he was able to see the continuity and to see his children living up to him and being memala makim. And that was the type that Moshe had, that we don't find that Moshe Rabbeinu's children followed necessarily or took his place in this. In fact, we find that his Einik Loch in the previous Gemara of Basra did not necessarily do that until they did tshuva in the end of their lives. So Moshe says in this in Sefri, it tells you exactly what was happening when Moshe was finding out about this seder of who's going to take him over. So the Rebbeinu Shlom told him, we know that you consider the children of Aaron like your children. And even the person that is going to take over Klal Yisrael and run the nation, he is going to go and ask advice and always find himself at the opening of the house of Elazar. Moshul Amadar V'dayma Zok the Sefri, that is a parable that you can compare this to. The Melech Basav Adam, he had a king. Shalihayla Bain Roi Lamalchus, that he had a child that wasn't Roi, he wasn't worthy of being the next king. Not Lamalchus Mi Menu Menosim Yadoevai. So he went to his best friend and he took the Malchus and he gave over the kingdom to his best friend. Omalea Melech Loevai. But the king left his friend and he told him as follows. I love my child. Even though I gave you greatness, do me a favor. Go knock on my son's door every once in a while. And ask him, how would you handle this? What would you do with this? Ask him an eitzah, ask him advice. And the nimshol is pashut. Yeshua was really the one who was the God Ladar, and he was the one taking and leading Klal Yisrael into the land. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yeshua, go ask Elazar what to do. Lahafis daitoi shel Moshe. Because Elazar was the nephew of Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu felt so bad that he wasn't taking the leadership and keeping it in the family. So Hashem orchestrated that Yeshua should go and ask a Eitza. Hadu d'chsev, and that's this pasuk in our Gemara of Lefnei Elazar HaKoyen Yam V'Sholeh. A fascinating Sefri. So if you think about it, Hashem orchestrated the whole turn of events, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Urim V'Tumim, and the Nachlas Ha'aretz, and He gave Elazar a special Ruach HaKodesh, so that for one thing, so that Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't feel bad. So Moshe Rabbeinu, to be sensitive to Moshe Rabbeinu, he went, inserted these psukim in the Torah, changed the whole process of the Chalukas Ha'aretz, put it all in Elazar's hand for one reason, so that Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't feel bad that it wasn't going on to him. An amazing lesson in how sensitive we have to be.
Oh, yeah.